Okay, what will we start with? Let's see. Let's talk about Gemara Shabbat. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Finkelstein. Good morning. Okay, so we won't necessarily go in order. Let's reverse our tracks. Let's go backwards. It's easy to go in order, Rashi. A little backwards. The artisans and the engineers, good morning, good morning. The artisans and the engineers are Rabbi Finkelstein, Jonathan Wiesen.
1999? 1999-2001.
So the artisans and the craftsmen of the Mishkan were Bezalel and Aholiyah. So Aliyah's father was Achi Samach, known for your child. Good nachas. Who is Bezalel's father? Uri. Nice name. Who is Bezalel's grandfather? Well, we wouldn't expect to hear Bezalel's grandfather because we don't hear of Aholiyah's grandfather. We're only introduced to Aholiyah's father, Aholiyah ben Achi Samach. Yet we meet Bezalel's grandfather. Who is Bezalel's grandfather? Four. So Rashi has one of my favorite Rashi's in Vayakhel, four words. Benashil Miriam Haya. He was Miriam's child. So Rashi is redirecting us away from one medrash, possibly towards another medrash in a pasuk. Why would we think Hor would be mentioned? Well, there's a medrash because Hor was killed at the Egel. Hor opposed the Egel riot. He was murdered. That's what caused Aaron and Parshat Kitisa to be a little bit more pragmatic, we could say. And he, according to Rashi, he quotes the medrash. He tried to delay because he knew if he would oppose them frontally, maybe also assassinated. So you'd think that this is a monument to Hor because of his heroic defense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence during the mob riot, that at least when the Mishkan is finally built and Am Yisrael's religion is rehabilitated, then at least he should have a mention. It should be a memorial plaque. So you think that he's mentioned. It's a throw-in because of his devotion and his martyrdom. But Rashi says, no, that's not the reason. The real reason is he was Miriam's son. Well, why should Miriam be mentioned here? So at some point, Miriam's heroism is described by waiting for Moshe by the Nile River. But yet, according to Chazal, that heroism is rewarded in Parshas Balozcha, because she waits for Moshe at the Nile, and Am Yisrael waits for her as they pass through the desert, and she's stricken with tzaras. So why is she mentioned here when a house is built? Why is this house built with a shout-out to Miriam? So according to Chazal, Miriam's heroism in Shmos wasn't just expressed in her waiting for Moshe by the Nile, but her heroism was expressed in protecting and rescuing Jewish babies from their fate of being murdered by Paro. So she was Pua, according to Chazal. She was one of the two midwives who heroically defied Paro's terrible decree. And as a reward for her heroism, for her and Shifra, who according to Chazal was Yocheved, anyone know what the language is in Shemos? Vayaslehem Batim. They receive a house, which means they receive lineage and they receive children and descendants. Chazal speak about houses not just as a lineage and a family, but something more metaphoric. Important houses. Houses of Kohanim. Houses of Tzadikim. Houses of Melachim. But this is where she has her house. She receives her house. Vayaslam, according to Chazal. Of course, none of this is literal in the Pasuk, but it's all based on the Midrashim. So the Batim in Parsha Shmos is finally being rewarded to Miriam's great-grandson, Bezalel. So, literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Haftacha, in the beginning of Shmos, it's a nice closure for Shmos, by Aslehem Batim, Miriam's reward is her great-grandson builds the Bais Lashem, the Mishkan Lashem. So, again, you would have thought it's a shout-out to Hor, and to a degree it is, honoring Hor's memory. Rashi says, no, it's nothing to do with Hor, at least in addition to Hor, it's Benashel Miriam. It's actually, if there could be a grandmother quoted in Parshas Vayakhel, so we should have heard Bezalel, Ben-Ari, Ben-Hor, Ben-Miriam. But we don't trace lineage in the Torah to mother, so that they're in the background. So Rashi's saying it's not about Hor here, it's more about Miriam. Okay, who was Bezalel's Robin? Who is Bezalel's accomplice? So it's Aholiyah ben Achi Samach l'matei dan. So Rashi tells a lovely democratic story that Yehuda were the aristocrats and Dan were the, lesser socially accepted group. They were the Masif v'chalamachanos, they weren't aristocratic, they weren't noblemen, their social rank was a little bit lower. So Rashi says, Mishevet Dan min ha'irudim shebishvatim, ibnei ha'shvachos. Dan was a son of Zilpah, so that discrimination still existed, interestingly enough, hundreds of years later. You think some of it passed, but they still had a social system, a caste system. between children of Rachel and Leah and children of Zilpah and Bilhah. Strange to see hundreds of years later, but still intact. And of course, Bezalel hails from Shevet Yehuda. So it's a nice statement of democracy, egalitarian, equal opportunity for all, stretching the entire social strata, empowering. Rashi quotes an interesting pasuk. I mean, how many pesukim in Tanakh can you think of to demonstrate the equality between rich people and poor people, important people, seemingly less important people? There are hundreds of pesukim that you can quote. Loseda, Pnei Dal. Rashi finds a pasuk in Iyov. It's interesting what pasuk Rashi selects. What's a pasuk in Iyov, Perek Lamed Dalet? Perek Lamed Dalet, Elihu was in the middle of one of his philosophical pontifications, explaining the ways of God to Iyov, was on a deathbed and questioning God's righteousness and justice in the world. So in Iyov, Perek Lamed Dalet, Elihu mentions the following pasuk that Rashi quotes. Let me find the pasuk. Asher lo nasa p'nei sarim. Hashem doesn't show favoritism to the politically empowered. V'lo nikar shoa lifnei dal. And the wealthy, or the princes, are not preferred over the poor. So that makes sense. That's what Rashi quotes. But Rashi doesn't quote the end of the pasuk. And my instincts tell me that the end of the pasuk is important for Rashi. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not favor anyone? You think for moral reasons, you think for justice. Kimasa yadav kulam, because they're all his children. And since we're all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, you never show favoritism to your children because you love them equally. There's a certain love of your creation, of your children, that prevents it. I could avoid discrimination for moral reasons. It's not fair to the weak. It's not fair to the victims of discrimination. I could, for economic reasons. But when you have two children, you love them each, and you don't show favoritism because it's a more gut and visceral feeling. So why is that important for Parshas Vayakra? Why does Rashi quote this pasuk in Iyov? Lo nikar shoa mipnei dal ki masei yadav kulam. I think part of the selection of Yehuda and Dan is not just to create equality and social egalitarianism, but it's a curb against some of the cockiness which sometimes expresses itself in creative people. Some of those people are very creative, and they unleash their creativity. There's an intellectual snobbery towards people who are less creative. Oh, yeah, you're just reading a Tosfos. I'm giving a brisker svara. Oh, you're just, I'm an artist. I'm a painter. Because creative people, to be creative, you need to have supreme confidence in your own view. Because you can't create unless you see something other than what exists. If you just see the reality, you can't create. Creativity is always seeing something that doesn't exist and leaping beyond the barriers of the material world and seeing some other world and saying, I'm going to create that. I'm going to express that. I'll create that idea. I'll create that painting. I'll create that song. You have to be really confident in yourself to be a creative person. There are like four or five ingredients necessary to be creative. One of them is to have confidence in yourself, healthy confidence. But sometimes that healthy confidence can become radicalized and it becomes smug and dismissive of other people's truths or dismissive of people that don't have those creative leaps, though they may be capable of other skills. I mean, creativity is not the only skill. In fact, there are many skills that creativity needs in order to cohere, in order to succeed. Discipline, structure, rigidity. And sometimes creative people have a hard time with that. We all know these creative people who don't have structure, don't have discipline, don't have... So I think that the selection of Aholiyah and Yehuda, or Dan and Yehuda, is meant to create not just equality, but to avoid the snobbery and smugness that sometimes creative people feel, and you can feel in the Mishkan, not just Bezalel himself, but the entire group, the entire atmosphere. And they're all chosen to say, well, there may be some very, very creative people, and maybe some other people, and it's the entire gamut, the entire span of Am Yisrael. And that, I think, is conveyed by this pasuk. Don't be too self-absorbed or infatuated in your creativity. Read this pasuk. Ki masei Yadav Kulam. You may be thrilled with your Masa Yadayim in Parshas Vayakel, but you are a Masa Yadayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an ironic twist. Be so enchanted with your Masa Yadayim and how creative you are, how bright you are, and how, but you're a Masa Yadayim of Hashem, and Hashem gave you creativity, Hashem can strip it from you. That only appears, as far as I know, once or very few times in Tanakh. So it's just juxtaposition in Iyov that Rashi is looking for. He only quotes part of the pasuk, but I believe it's the entire pasuk. Lo nikar shoa lifnei dal. Hashem doesn't choose one over another. Ki masei yadav hema. Because for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're all masei yadayim. And keep in mind, you're masei yadayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Chor is mentioned, and that's why Bezalel and Aholiyah are mentioned. Now, what about the word vayakel? Interesting word. Vayakel, kahal. Of course, gathering, unification, unity. Rashi highlights the fact that this is not vayasof Moshe, but vayakil Moshe. So Rashi says, hu lashon hifil, you are enabling, you're causing, eino osef anashim biyadayim, you're not gathering people physically, elahim ne'asafim al pi diburo. So there's a difference between vayakel or vayotzi or vayosef or vayikach. Now, I don't think Rashi means that those other words mean physically, that if those other words would be written, Moshe would physically take each person and move them. I don't think. Rashi is describing two different forms of gathering. One is where it's not physical, but it's Moshe as an authority figure. I want you to be there at a certain point, dispatches an announcement, the email goes out, the WhatsApp gets sent out, posters get posted, and everyone comes because Moshe has imposed his authority, and they, of course, submit to his authority. It would be the equivalent of me taking you physically and imposing my authority to physical means. It doesn't mean physical. Rashi says, be a daim. It doesn't mean be a daim, of course. Moshe never takes all 3 million people, be a daim. He just imposes his authority. I want you to be there. I want you to be at Har Sinai. They were frightened. They had no interest in being at Har Sinai. It was an inferno. He said, you're going. Then there's another point where you're interested in arriving at that location pretty much on your own. I'm just informing you where to go. I'm just an Android app telling you where to be at a certain point. And I'm suggesting and whispering, let's gather at this point. Essentially, we're collaborating. I'm assisting you. I'm coordinating or choreographing the event. You'd go on your own, but the question is when and how and how'd you get there. So I'm your travel agent. I'm not really instructing you and imposing. I'm your travel. I'm facilitating the process. And that's what Rashi means. Vayakel means Lashon Hifil. Lashon Hifil Sheino Osef Biadayim. I don't force you to go. Elohim Nesafim Al Pi Diburo. They gather based on Moshe's instructions where to attend. And why is this important? Why is it important that the gathering be Vayakel, not Vayesef? On the one hand, of course, because we want to see their excitement for the Mishkan, as opposed to a degree of, let's say, Har Sinai, where they're terrified, so they're interested, they're not arriving or attending because Moshe is enforcing it or compelling them. It's voluntary, it's exciting, it's enthusiastic. So on the one hand, it's trying to highlight the enthusiasm and excitement of the people. But on the other hand, it's also trying to decentralize Moshe. On the one hand, Moshe has to be the coordinator. Moshe is the dance instructor. On the other hand, this can't be about Moshe. We made that mistake before, where we can't separate our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Moshe. That was a mistake in Parshas Kitisa. Ki ish Moshe, Moshe ish milavo. According to Chazal, the Satan tried to confuse him. Moshe is dead. This is just going to be Moshe part two. Okay, so it'll be Moshe's house, and Moshe's Mishkan. Let's worship with Hashem through Moshe. There's got to be a breakaway for Moshe. And that's why Bezalel steps into the picture. I mean, you think Moshe is such a magician, such an artist. Moshe crafted the Mishkan. Why the whole Bezalel is this figure that enters in Parshas Kitisa, all of a sudden dominates Kitisa? Where is Bezalel? Moshe Rabbeinu, miracles, Mati. He can split the sea, he can make a Mishkan. I mean, it's just nothing. Splitting the sea, that's a big job. Building a Mishkan, not so big. That's why in the end of Pekudei, if we fast forward, you'll see this next week, we'll talk about it. Moshe can't enter the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan has to be a bit of a break for Moshe. Because they failed, they fell into that trap in Parshas Kitisa. And the Mishkan is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe has to be decentralized. So even at the beginning, where they're gathered, it can't be Vayesof Moshe Sa'am, Vayotzi Moshe Sa'am, Lekwasa Mishkan, Vayakel. It has to be gathered, because it has to be orderly. But it's not Moshe Rabbeinu forcing them, instructing them, leading them, shepherding them. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, just basically get together. And in Malachim, Aleph, Parakas, that language will once again return. Az, Yakel, Shlomo. Moshe Shlomo himself gathers everyone through the Vayakel. Again, it's not Shlomo, it's the king, because then it's the king living in the Beis HaMikdash, worshipped in this very unholy alliance between church and state, which Judaism avoids, right? The Beis HaMikdash is directed not by Shevet Yehuda, but by Shevet Levi, and Shevet Levi can't be Malachim. So when Shlomo gathers them, he once again reenacts Moshe Rabbeinu's suggesting that we gather in front of the Beis HaMikdash because it's not about the Malachim or any human being. So three different Rashis. One is Chor. It's nice to mention Chor. It's nice to memorialize Chor. But Rashi says it's not just about Chor, it's also about Miriam, Vayaslam Batim. Number two, Betzal on Ahaliyah, Betzal from Shevet Yehuda, Aliyah from Shevet Dan. Of course, it's social equality, but according to Rashi, he directs us to the pasuk in Iyov, Lonikar Shoram Ibnei Dal, Ki Masa Yadav Hema, that don't get infatuated with your own creative capabilities. You are a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All your creativity has been created. That's why they're chosen from the entire gamut, from Dan, from Yehuda. And finally, Vayakel isn't a compelled gathering, it's rather a assisted gathering and a choreographed gathering. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Andy. Really.
I didn't get to it.